if you Google them, they were probably as gutless and cowardless as you could be. They preyed on children. They couldn't get grown-ups to fight the war. The only grown-ups they had fighting the war was grown-ups that were kidnapped as a child when they were little, you know.
How can I help? How can I be useful in ending needless suffering? Do not be afraid of work that has no end.
We have to organize a social movement.
We have an opportunity to lead by example versus just talking hot air. I think the more people in this fight, the more we grow. Eventually, it could change. You know, the people are the ones that can make the change.
Good morning, everybody. I recently got the chance to sit down and have a conversation with a man named Sam Childers. Now, that name may not ring a bell, but I think for most people, the term or name machine gun preacher might. And there's a reason for that. There was a major Hollywood movie in which Sam, who is the machine gun preacher, was played by Gerard Butler. Today's episode is the real story of the machine gun preacher and his work in South Sudan and Northern Uganda. Early in his life, Sam struggled with alcohol and drug addiction and was a member of the Outlaw Motorcycle Club. In 1992, he found his way back to religion and began taking mission trips to South Sudan. While he was there, he encountered for the first time the Lord's Resistance Army, a militant terrorist group that is also considered a religious cult and is led by a warlord named Joseph Kony. According to UNICEF, the LRA is responsible for the abductions of more than 25,000 children. What would you do with young children if you abducted them? Well, in this case, they turned them into child soldiers, using them in their campaigns of ethnic violence and terrorism in Uganda. The LRA has also faced allegations of child sex slavery. In response to the LRA, Sam launched the Angels of North Africa NGO to house orphaned and endangered children in the region. Though Kony, the leader of the LRA, is largely no longer a threat, millions have been displaced during the conflict, and many people are still in need. Sam has also founded a 600-acre farm in northern Uganda, which donates tons of rice and crops to refugee camps every year. They've also built a large truck stop and auto repair shop, which provides young victims with job training and a skill. His Bush Kids Project finds children in remote parts of North African bush to supply them with medical care. Sam is an interesting individual for sure, but he has a breadth and depth of experience in southern Sudan that I don't think most people can approach. The story is a fascinating one, and hopefully it gets your attention and drives some awareness and desire to help. Enjoy. Sounds like you had a really good upbringing as a younger man, running with an older crowd. They introduced you to some things that led your life in a different direction, started hanging out with the motorcycle gang. What brought you back towards your center? Was there a specific incident, or was it small things over time?
No. There was one incident. I was in Orlando, Florida. I got into a really bad bar fight. It was bad. People were shot. People were stabbed. And that night in the bar, I was in the back of the bar, and there was only one way out, the front door. And I remember looking at that door, and I said to myself, if I make it to that door, I'm done living this life. Now, a lot of times when I share my testimony, a lot of people say, oh, that's when he gave his life to the Lord. No, that's not when I gave my life to the Lord. That's when I made up my mind, I'm done living this life. I'm done. And it was actually 2 years after that that I walked into a church and said, here I am, God.
But what did you do in those 2 years?
Well, I went home that night. I told my wife at the time, she was a stripper. I told her, I said, we're moving. And she was wanting a way out also. So I told my wife, I said, we're moving back to my hometown, Pennsylvania. So we moved back to my hometown, and my wife started going to church immediately with my mom. And all of a sudden, my wife and my mom became best friends, And she's dedicating all of her time and everything to God, you know. So I was getting angry with God. I was getting upset with my mom. And the last thing you want, it's not even biblical, is your wife to be best friends with your mom. That's not good. You know, I know it's not true what I'm saying, but I just like to believe that.
It's because pretty true. I've been there.
When your wife becomes best friends with your mom, you'll never be right again.
Yeah, you've lost all your allies.
Right. So for 2 years, I was just pretty angry that, I mean, I knew God was real. I never doubted God. Even when I was the worst in my life, for 2 years of my life, I'd sit on a toilet every morning and shoot up cocaine every afternoon, every evening. I mean, I was a full-on addict. I knew God was real. I just thought, I don't need him. If you want him, you take him, you know. But for 2 years, I just stayed away from everybody. I didn't want that life. And I speak in a lot of rehabs, you know, because I speak to a lot of people that are fooled by Christians telling them, look, all you need to do is come down to the church. The Lord can take it from you. He could do that. But Christ don't work that way. Christ is all about freedom. He wants you to make up your mind. You know, Christ is not a genie in a bottle. Every time you run into trouble, you don't rub the bottle, wait for him to pop out and do a magic trick. I believe that if we tell the people in the rehabs, look, it's up to you, but there's one thing God can do for you and will do for you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's always there for you to talk to him. But we got to stop letting on to people with addictions that he's like this genie in a bottle that does magic tricks.
Yeah. So what was it at the end of that 2 years that got you over the finish line?
You know, I went in, there was a man from South Africa, and he was a really hard preacher. I mean, really hard and tough preacher. And he was a white South African, and he was at the church speaking as a missionary. And my wife talked me into going to church. And that night I knew, before I even walked into the church, driving to the church, I just knew inside, this is my night. And that night he gave the altar call. I couldn't move. It was like my legs wouldn't move. And he kept looking back at me. And then he said, look, all you got to do is lift your hands. And it was like I had a stroke. So then I couldn't lift my hands. And finally, he come walking back to me. And he said, man, what's wrong with you? The power of God is all over you. And you're just sitting here. And I started weeping in my seat. I started crying, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ, sitting in a back pew, sitting down. You know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of church people think you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to go to the altar, you got to spit and gag a few times. And I'm telling you, you don't have to do none of that. You can be driving down the road. You can be on your motorcycle. You can be in your car. Anywhere that you can say, Lord, forgive me and allow me to enter into your family, that's all he needs to hear. That's a beginning, but that's only a beginning.
How old were you when that happened?
19, June of 1992. So you'll have to do the math. I'm 61 now.
All right. So how long ago?
I was in my 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in my 30s.
Mid-30s, call it.
Yeah. And then I immediately, because I knew I was going to be a preacher. You know, everybody wants to quit work and go on welfare and go to school to be a preacher. I didn't do that. I kept working harder than I ever worked. And I took a Bible course at home through the independent assemblies. And I started preaching within 1 year, just kind of evangelizing a little bit. But I'd done a 2-year course, and I've been preaching ever since, you know.
How did you find your way from that moment and beginning your preaching to South Sudan, not exactly a neighboring community?
The man from South Africa was going into South Sudan to teach chaplains. And he gets a hold of me and he says, Sam, he says, I got this big building I got to re-roof. And he says, it's a standing seam roof. Now, you probably don't know what that is, but it's a very difficult roof to put on. You got to be a pretty good roofing contractor to be able to do it. So I said, yeah, those are no problem. I do them all the time. So I went ahead over to South Sudan, my first trip on a 5-week mission trip to work on this building. But when I got there, I was there about a week or two, and the Lord Resistant Army, the LRA, raided a village. And, excuse me, I said to some of the SPLA soldiers, I said, look, I want to go there. I want to see it. And they said, are you serious? And I said, yeah, I need to go there and see what happened. So when I got there, we started doing like a recon. There was two soldiers and me just kind of looking around for any children that may have been hiding. And like in the movie, you probably seen the movie Machine Gun Preacher.
I've seen parts of it, actually. I've seen it in like segments.
So on this day, we were looking for children hiding. And we came across a small child that from the waist down was gone. And I remember standing over that body and I said, God, how could this happen in the world today? And we don't hear about it. I mean, we hear about everything in Hollywood. We hear about garbage every day, but we don't hear about these children dying of landmines. And I stood over that body. And I didn't realize what I said or what I was meaning or what I was saying until today or the last few years. I said, Lord, I'll do whatever it takes to help these people. And that was nearly 27 years ago, and I'm still there helping the children.
Tell me a little bit about the LRA, if you will, because I know that was a little bit more towards your origin story there in Sudan. What were they all about?
If you Google them, they were probably as gutless and cowardless as you could be. They pried on children. They couldn't get grownups to fight the war. The only grownups they had fighting the war was grownups that were kidnapped as a child when they were little, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are still in the Congo. It's something how God works. They say Joseph Kony's still alive. He's in the Congo, and now God has me in the Congo. You know, so hopefully we'll meet up one day. But maybe I can lead him to the Lord or send him there, one or the other, huh?
I mean, I guess those are two viable options for sure.
No, but I mean, what's exciting to me about working in war areas is you don't have other NGOs. You'll find them on the outskirts and everything. So I believe God put me right where he wanted me. God knows I'm not a quitter, you know. At my age, if you look at what I have, you know, I'm a pretty blessed person now, you know. I have a motorcycle shop outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I build custom motorcycles, and people ask me all the time, Sam, when are you going to quit? And I always tell them, I'm not sure. I'm still breathing. But I'll probably go on preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and rescuing children as long as I can walk and breathe, you know. So hopefully God will keep me healthy.
Yeah. Yep. How do you rectify being a preacher carrying a gun with one of the Ten Commandments being thou shalt not kill?
No, it doesn't say thou shalt not kill. It says thou shalt not murder. You know, so there's a big difference between killing and murdering, you know. So the Bible says thou shalt not murder. And that's the original Ten Commandments. You know, so maybe if you go through something that's been translated, it could say kill, but that's not the original Ten Commandments. The original Sure. Ten Commandments is thou shalt not murder. And, you know, no one has ever heard me ever say in an interview, and I've been on El Kashir, CNN, I've been on them all. No one has ever heard me say that I've killed anybody. And everyone tries to get me to say those words. But I believe if we're going to boast about anything, we should boast about what Christ is doing. We should not boast about violence. You know, I joke a lot about, you know, little violent things, but you don't hear me boasting about violence, you know, because violence does not glorify Jesus Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, I could not be more fired up to introduce the presenting sponsor for season two of Change Agents, Montana Knife Company. Founded by somebody that I feel very fortunate to call a personal friend, Master Bladesmith Josh Smith. Not only a Master Bladesmith, but the youngest Master Bladesmith and one of the most experienced in the world. Montana Knife Company blades are some of the finest that I've ever been able to get my hands on. They are the sharpest knife out of the box, and they're some of the easiest to resharpen when you dull the blade. I take them everywhere that I go. I have them in every vehicle that I own and every backpack that I ever take into the backcountry. Specifically, my favorite blade of theirs is the Speed Goat. It's lightweight, but so incredibly capable. I never leave home without it. If you're familiar with Montana Knife Company, you know it is often very difficult to get one of their blades because they sell out within minutes of being released. What you should be able to find in stock are the Blackfoot 2.0, Speed Goat, or a Stonewall Skinner. And if you use the code CHANGEAGENTS10, that's going to net you 10% off of your first order. Again, my personal favorite blade is the Speed Goat. If they have them in stock right now, don't mess around. Put it in your cart and complete the checkout. Montana Knife Company, they build working knives for working people. And like I said at the beginning, I could not be more proud to collaborate with them on Change Agents Season 2. Hey there, everybody. Before we get back to the interview, if you want to grab a hat or a shirt like the one I'm wearing right now, go visit shop.thisisironclad.com and use the code CHANGEAGENTS. That's going to be all one word, all caps, for 15% off of your order. Ironclad just restocked their inventory, so get them before they're gone. And make sure to follow them anywhere at This Is Ironclad. Stay in the know for exclusive collaborations that are going to be coming soon. That's shop.thisisironclad.com, code CHANGEAGENTS. One word, all caps. It's going to get you 15% off of your order. All right, let's get back to the show.
So you mentioned the movie where you were portrayed by Gerard Butler in a random, completely unassociated topic. I actually met the guy years ago when he was acting in the movie 300, a little bit before the Machine Gun Preacher days. Interesting character for sure. He was kind and also slightly aloof, which I think is like the normal for a movie star. question for you about the movie. And doing a little bit of prep about, you know, for the show there. And this is always the case on the internet. There is, I don't even want to say that it would be called criticism, but they say that some of the aspects of the story were a little bit overblown would be the word that they would use, specifically when it came to the role that you played in defending the orphanage. And I just wanted to give you the opportunity to set the record straight about any of that criticism.
You know, to start with, there's a lot of criticism. You know, there was even one criticism from a SPLA general that said I never worked with the SPLA. I have over 20 gun permits signed by the SPLA. I have a membership card with no exemption date from the SPLA. The movie was definitely not very accurate. The truth is, and SPLA commanders will vouch when I say this, the LRA attacked the orphanage three times. And they could never penetrate through a bamboo fence. So if somebody is saying the LRA never burnt the orphanage to the ground, that is absolutely right. But I don't know why Hollywood, see, once you sign on the dotted line, like right now they're getting ready to do a part two Machine Gun Preacher, but it won't be called Machine Gun Preacher. It's a different name. That movie is going to be way more accurate because I held on to the script. But the first movie was probably, there was a lot of things in that movie that was not true, a lot. But as far as did the LRA attack the orphanage? Yes, three times. Did I fight with the LRA? For many years. I even got written proof that I was in Operation Iron Fist with the UPDF, you know. So there's nobody, the big people that were in that war fighting, none of them will ever deny that I was not boots on the ground.
How are conditions there now in Sudan versus when you were first there in this battle that you were talking about?
Okay. Remember, I'm in South Sudan.
Yep.
South Sudan is very unstable. It has never become stable, ever. Uganda is like the land of milk and honey. Uganda, I work about over 600 people on a payroll in Uganda. I have a lot of business going on there. My biggest business is I run an armed security company, and I've had that security company for nearly 16 years. But South Sudan is still very unstable because of the war that's going on right now, a very serious act of war in Sudan. Things in East Africa are becoming very unstable. And so if peace does not come quickly to Sudan, it's going to be very horrible. You know, the pipeline is shut down, the oil is shut down. So that means all income is shut down. So, I mean, if you Google starvation in East Africa, we're looking at millions of people will probably die by the end of 2023. So serious things are going on. Ethiopia has just quieted it down. They signed a peace agreement. A lot of people didn't even know they were in war. Thousands upon thousands of children was murdered. Congo has been in war for many years. Most people don't even know that. The area that I'm in Bunjibujo. I'm licensed to go in there to rescue children. I'll have all the licenses through the government. I mean, we still rescue children to this day. And no one can, I mean, if anyone wants to see the proof, I got the government papers to show it. You probably heard of the school that was just over the Congo border in Uganda that was raided just a couple of weeks ago. 51 people was killed, mainly children. 7 children was abducted, 2 escaped. That's 2 miles from where I'm working right now. Wow. So I mean, our mission has always been children, will always be children. And I mean, if people want to talk about me, that's fine, because in Matthew chapter 5, I believe it's verse 10 and 11, says, if you are persecuted for his sake, you're blessed. And I'm a very blessed person. And I mean, I don't care what people has to say about me. I believe that there's a lot of jealous people in the world. And I tell people all the time, if you want to be somebody, get up and do something. You know, you've got too many people in America now that's overweight, sitting behind a computer, playing a computer game, you know. And if that's what you want in life, that's fine. Me, I chose to dedicate my life to rescuing children, feeding children. Right now, my feeding program's over 10,000 meals a day. Right now, as we speak, I'm building number 8 school from the footer up. I mean, so we do some massive projects in East Africa.
was actually going to ask you about your expansion because, you know, it begins with or began with the orphanage and has moved on to a farm and a ranch now. And I was just curious what it is you have built and what is your goal with that?
Well, you know, the farm started out at about 300 acres. Now it's 1,200 acres. The past 5 or 6 years, it's a total nonprofit farm. We fill our own storehouses, and then when our storehouses is full, we give the rest away. Last Christmas, we give it away every December. Last Christmas, we gave away over 90 ton of rice, 16 ton of beans and lentil. We gave away about 8 ton of posha, maybe 10 ton of posha. That's like a corn mill. And I butchered 20 cows. We did not only fed people for a few days, we gave food rations to families for 3 to 4 months. So our farm is total nonprofit. But keep in mind, we couldn't do any of that if we didn't have donors to help us do it, you know.
Yep.
So usually every the end of October, we start on Facebook letting people know, hey, harvest is coming up. We hope you're going to back us again this year. We want to give the entire harvest away. So we've been doing that 5 or 6 years. Now, our feeding programs go back for way, way over a decade, probably close to 20 years, a good 18 years, our feeding programs. But our feeding program started out with 20 children, and now it's over 10,000 meals a day. We drill a lot of wells in needed areas. We have drilled way over 50 wells over the years. We have repaired way over 50 wells. So those projects have been going on for many, many years. Now, 2 years ago, during COVID, it's been a little over 2 years, we started a project called the Bush Kids Project. And a lot of people, just like the movie showed, a lot of NGOs get very upset with me because they don't understand why the government allows me to do things but doesn't allow other NGOs to do things. And I tried to tell them that's because I'm good looking and you're ugly. No, they. I'm just kidding.
That's a legit answer.
No, but I believe it's called God's favor. God's favor is on our ministry. You know, I have had millions of dollars come into this ministry, and I never quit. I never walked away. And I believe that's why God has favor on us. So right now, we take doctors, we take nurses, we take a security team, we take medicine. For over 2 years, we go deep into the bush. We bring a blood lab. We treat children for malaria, bacteria infections, and other things, deworming the whole villages. Well, about a year ago, the ministry, Ugandan Ministry of Health, was watching us, and they contacted me, and they said, Sam, we see every month you're going out. And they said, you know, our budget, we run out of early every year. They said, would you be willing to take one of our doctors along so he could be doing polio vaccines, measles vaccines? Now, they had a little bit of a yellow fever outbreak, so now they're doing yellow fever. And I said, no, absolutely. So, I mean, now we have never done before. The Ministry of Health is going out with us supporting them, to take their people all under our expense. So we're not only treating children malaria or bacteria infections or wounds and cuts, we're giving polio vaccines, measles vaccines, yellow fever vaccines, deworming everybody, you know. So God has really given us favor on the Bush Kids Project. So one of the big things that I challenge people is if you look into our work, look into it thoroughly, because, you know, I've been a missionary for 25 plus years, and there's a lot of people out there that we sow millions into, and they're not doing that much. So I challenge people, look into what we're doing. For the older children, we have many businesses. We have a American style truck stop in northern Uganda, which has now turned out to be the largest truck stop in all of East Africa. It's 60 plus acres. That truck stop is working about 60 young people, young men, young ladies, teaching them a skill and a trade. This is what's so awesome about it. You need no education. We have hotels, we have supermarkets, we have auto mechanics, we have tire shop. There's so many different businesses there. Right now, if you go onto our Facebook, there's three Facebook sites, The Real Machine Gun Preacher, Sam Childers, Sam Childers site, and Samuel Childers site. You can see I'm building a strip mall. And people say, Sam, what are you all about making money? Heck yes. Number one, I would love to be self-sufficient one day. Number two, the more money I make, the more crusades I can do, the more Bibles I can give out. You know, you hardly ever hear of people giving Bibles out anymore in the mission field. We still do. But the big thing to us is teaching a skill and a trade. The strip mall we're building now will put 30 young people to work. And then also the big thing, there's a conference room inside. I dedicated the conference room in northern Uganda to church every Sunday, 7 in the morning till noontime. There'll be church in the conference room. So, I mean, we have that project going on. I'm building the 8th school right now. I bought a town center in the middle of the bush. And people said, a town center? It's where all the village people come together to sell produce and animals. I bought the whole town center. So I'm building a school there. I'm building a church there. I'm building a marketplace. So instead of sitting under a tree, you'll be under a big roof. Every Sunday after church, we're going to feed the people. Whether, you know, it might just be beans and posha, beans and rice. It doesn't matter if there's 100 people or 300 people. Every Sunday, if you come to church, we're going to feed you not only the word of God, but we're going to feed you food.
There's a lot of things I like about the Mountain Tough program, but I think primarily what I enjoy is they focus on mental toughness in addition to just the physical toughness. Everything they do is grounded in one purpose: life transformations and being strong between the years in the mind. And there's also a community of 15,000 plus Mountain Tough athletes. So the community is strong, they're supportive, and they're gonna help keep you accountable. So you can train anywhere, you can stream anywhere, you can access guided training and on-demand workouts right from your phone, your tablet, or TV or computer, whatever you're into. And everything you need is in one spot. The Mountain Tough subscription gets you access to all the Mountain Tough programs, new programs, and bonus content. And they have programs for everyone. Those who hit the gym and heavy weights, those who like to work out at home with no gear or minimal gear, and everything in between. Mountain Tough has been the trusted training by the dedicated for years now, including U.S. military special forces and dedicated backcountry hunters. There is no excuse for you to not start today. With Mountain Tough, you can conquer your goals with the ideal program for your lifestyle and schedule. Train with equipment or just your body weight on your phone, tablet, TV, or web browser. Most importantly, they will help you train your mindset so you are always ready for anything that life throws your way. Mountain Tough subscribers get full access to world-class home and gym programs, groundbreaking mental toughness training, self-improvement, prehab and rehab, biomechanical form coaching, stretching and mobility flows, nutrition guidance, challenge workouts, and the global Mountain Tough community. Mountain Tough is offering Change Agents listeners an incredible offer. You're going to get 40% off on the all-new Mountain Tough Plus annual subscription with the code CHANGEAGENTS. Go to mtntough.com and enter the code CHANGEAGENTS to receive 40% off, a savings of about $100 on your Mountain Tough Plus annual subscription. That is MTN, Mike Tango November, tough.com, and enter the code CHANGEAGENTS to save 40%. That is less than 50 cents per day for the best in-class physical and mental training. Hey there, everybody. Before we get back to the interview, If you want to grab a hat or a shirt like the one I'm wearing right now, go visit shop.thisisironclad.com and use the code CHANGEAGENTS. That's going to be all one word, all caps, for 15% off of your order. Ironclad just restocked their inventory, so get them before they're gone. And make sure to follow them anywhere at This Is Ironclad to stay in the know for exclusive collaborations that are going to be coming soon. That's shop.thisisironclad.com, code CHANGEAGENTS. One word, all caps. It's going to get you 15% off of your order. All right, let's get back to the show.
What would you want people to know about modern day Southern Sudan, Uganda, and the Congo? What would you, if you had 60 seconds with them in an elevator, how would you grab their attention to direct that attention towards what you're doing and hopefully support?
I would say to them, it's very dangerous, and if I was you, I wouldn't go there. Unless you heard the voice of God. Yeah, I would say very dangerous, and I wouldn't go there unless you heard the voice of God.
How long, if your current efforts are able to continue and grow in their scopes, size, and scale, do you think it's possible to reverse the living conditions in those countries?
Yes. You know, Uganda, I'm going to tell you what I call Uganda. Uganda is the land of milk and honey. Okay. So if Uganda did it, I believe the other people can do it. You know, a lot of people don't like the president in Uganda. I like him. And unless we get a president back like him, I don't know what the country's going to do. Now, I'm hearing for the new election, we got some pretty good people that's going to be running. But I can tell you, President Museveni made Uganda the land of milk and honey. And when I first went to Kampala 20-some years ago, or almost 27 years now, there wasn't a shopping mall in Kampala. There wasn't fancy hotels in Kampala. Kampala was confined. It was a city with war all around it. But because he was hard, because he dealt with the rebels the way he should have, he's also born again. His wife is born again, spirit-filled woman of God. Because of all of that, Uganda's a land of milk and honey. Investors come in from around the world, and they will invest in Uganda, and you're free to take your money in and out of the country, whatever. I mean, so I feel Uganda is the land of milk and honey. South Sudan, gonna need a miracle, man. Gonna need a miracle. Congo, gonna need a miracle. Ethiopia, there was no war there for 30 plus years. You know, Addis Ababa used to be the place where all the peace talks were done. And 2 years ago broke out in an awful war, you know. But they got a peace treaty again. So I believe there is good hope for Ethiopia. But Ethiopia is a very controlling country. You know, the government controls everything. You can't even put fuel in your car unless you pay for it through an app through the government, you know. So a lot of those countries are going to have a hard time. Uganda, land of milk and honey. The only problem in Uganda is after a war, most people will tell you it takes 10 years to start to rehabilitate the people and the children. Then it takes another 10 years after that to get the country strong again in economy. So since the Kony War, you figure you got 20 years to build that country up strong. And I believe it will get stronger than any of the other countries in East Africa.
What's next for you and your team?
You know, I'm getting ready to build a very, very big hotel in East Africa, northern Uganda, 2025. Like I said, I'm 61 now. Four more years, I'm going to back away from, the security company. Most people don't realize I run and operate an armed security company. when I'm 65, I'm going to back away. I'm not going to sell the company. I started the company almost 16 years ago with three people, with sticks. And now it's an armed security company. So, I mean, for me, I want to enlarge my feeding programs. I want to enlarge my work training. So I don't really have a whole lot of changes, but I hope, pray for me, guys. I hope God will let me retire from the war and when I'm 65. I hope so. But if not, I'll keep fighting.
How can listeners and viewers help your organization? Where would you point them towards?
You know, what I want to do is I want to tell everybody out there, find an organization that you fit in with. There's a lot of organizations. I would love to tell you ours is the best. We need your money. I'd love to be able to say that, but I can't. There's a lot of good organizations in Africa. Do a little research on them. The biggest thing you want to know first is how much money does the CEO make or the founder make or the board members make. Taking off from there, find out how much on a dollar is actually spent in the field. That will give you directions to support them or not. But I can tell you right now, we have no problem talking with you about what we do. You can even get a hold of me and talk to me. And you can put boots on the ground yourself. So do we need your help and support? Yes. Are we willing to answer for everything we do? Yes. Can you come and see how your money is being spent? Yes. So those are questions you should ask anyone that you're going to support.
Where can they go to support your organization?
You know, the easiest thing, you know, our name is Angels of East Africa. You got to write that down. All you got to remember, Machine Gun Preacher. That's the name of our website, Machine Gun Preacher. You just type that in on Google. You'll come right to our website. You can give on there. It's a very safe website. Our contacts are on there. My office, my Angels of East Africa office, is in my motorcycle shop. So you can actually call the office. You can Google their, I don't know what you call it, tax returns or whatnot that's done. You know, you can Google all that through the state. So yeah. If you want to support us, call our office or go to Machine Gun Preacher website.
Hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you would like to learn more about Sam and his organization, please check out machinegunpreacher.org. I know that's a mouthful, but it's all normal spelling. machinegunpreacher.org. Thanks for listening to Change Agents, which is an Ironclad original. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode. Until then, have a good one.